And we have with us also Dr. Tracy Lenhart. She is the medical director of Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center in Largo. One of the best doctors in the world today, a cutting edge, technology driven, looking at things from a different approach. And she is a great doctor and a good friend of ours and mine. Comes on with me every Tuesday in the morning show and is going to come on with us here every Wednesday on the Pete O'Shea Show. Doc, how are you?
I'm great today.
So she rushed over here. She said she realized how much she can, how fast she can get down here.
Don't tell the cops that.
We got to set up a speed trap here right now in the parking lot so we can get Doc on the way here. All right. So today, doctor, we want to talk about hormonal imbalances. Talk to us about that. What do you mean when you say hormonal imbalances?
Well, there's a lot of hormones in the body. You know, most women think of hormonal imbalances. They're estrogen, they're progesterone, PMS, menopause. There's thyroid hormone imbalance. There's, you know, adrenal hormone imbalance. So there's a lot of them. And the hormones, you know, I kind of try to tell people they work as a symphony. Mm-hmm. So if the violin string is gone, the symphony doesn't work very well.
Ah, okay. So there's a rhythmic pattern to our bodies in which each note of a music needs to come together to make that full sound, or in this case, the full body, right?
Exactly. So if one is thrown off, then it can throw off everything else.
Oh, okay. And now I'm also, you know, something that you sent me that I found interesting is not only are we seeing a lot of hormonal imbalance in older people, but now lately you've been seeing it a lot in younger people as well?
We've been seeing a huge rise of, you know, progesterone deficiency, or most girls know it as PMS, mm-hmm. Where it's starting to happen younger and younger and getting worse and worse. You know, there's a lot of different reasons for it, but a lot of it is our environment. You know, we're, you know, exposed to a lot of things that cause increased estrogen, and PMS basically is higher estrogen to low progesterone.
Okay, so but we're seeing it more and more, so it's environmental. Someone also asked me to ask you this. Does it have something to do with what's going into the food, like milk and that kind of stuff, that then now they put all these things in there? Is that
exactly. When they start putting a lot of hormones in our, you know, the cattle to get them to produce better, we also are getting exposed to those hormones, and they stimulate the estrogen in the system.
So how do you diagnose and treat those things? How do you do that?
Well, for somebody who's younger, who's menstruating and everything else, we actually do a 28-day hormone test, and we actually look at their hormones the entire month. So we know exactly what day they ovulate. We know if they're coinciding, because the estrogen and progesterone are supposed to match each other going up and down. So we actually watch those levels the entire month long.
Okay. And then from that, then, what kind of treatments are we looking at to take? Now, somebody having really bad PMS, what kind of symptoms? Let's start with that. What kind of symptoms are they going to have?
They get very irritable. They can be very short. They can have headaches, migraines, cravings, severe, you know, food cravings, severe cramping when they do get into their menstrual cycle. You know, it's basically a lot of, you know, people think of the PMS as the, you know, they can almost go crazy at times. There has actually been people institutionalized
really?
With PMS, and they were misdiagnosed.
Can I use that as an excuse when I go? No, I can't. When I go crazy,
sorry.
I can't use that as an excuse. No? All right. Well, look at Angel's looking at me.
She said short. You're not short.
No, I'm not short. She said small. Did she say short or small? I can't remember.
She said short.
I said
she
short.
Oh, short. Short-tempered.
Oh, short-tempered.
Short-tempered.
No, never mind.
No,
I'm out too then.
Yeah, you're out too. So, okay. So then how they have these severe, these symptoms are pretty severe in a lot of cases.
They can be. They can be from mild to just basically food cravings before a menstrual cycle to severe symptoms of depression and everything else that goes on with it.
So how do you treat it? What do we do about that?
Well, because it's usually a progesterone deficiency, we will actually start replacing the progesterone around the 14th day to the 24th day.
Okay.
So.
But again, just like you do in all the ways that you treat medicine, this treat people, this is what I love about you as a doctor, it's very much an individualized thing, right? What's wrong with one person who's having PMS could be radically different than another, and therefore you have to treat it differently, right?
Exactly. I mean, the doses range differently for a lot of patients. You know, we're using natural progesterone. We're using the real progesterone in the body. But, you know, we have one patient that she gets progesterone all month long, and we just mimic her cycle. So we actually give her lower doses at the beginning of the month and up the doses when she needs it.
Okay. Now, there was a study that came out. There was actually something in the Wall Street Journal today, and this is on the other end of the spectrum. They're talking about hormone replacement therapy for menopausal women. They're saying that the risk outweigh the benefits for most patients. What is your thoughts on that?
Actually, if you look at that study, they're using estrogen and progestin combinations. Progestin is not progesterone. Okay. It's a synthetic progesterone. And what I tell patients, again, is you got to think of a key and a door lock. So you have to put identical, you know, hormones in there, because you can get the key to fit, but it may not turn correctly on the receptor.
I like it.
And so when that doesn't meet up correctly, and progestin has a group on its 17th, you know, marker, because they have different markers all the way through. That 17th marker is what protects the breast. So if that area or that receptor is blocked, it cannot anchor into the breast tissue. And that's why you get the increased risk of breast cancer and everything when you're using false or progestins over progesterone.
But wouldn't that be the case overall, really, too? Those synthetic hormones really aren't the answer. We're using those, I don't even know what purpose, but they're not the right things, are they?
Well, they're pharmaceutical made. Actually, estrogen or, the estrogens that are made synthetically are actually made out of horse urine.
Made out of what now?
Made out of horse urine.
Whoa, secretary. Whoa, down, fella. Down, big fella.
So, you know, the ones that we make bioidentically are made out of yams or plant-based, but they're made structurally. And that's the difference. There's a lot of different things that you can make bioidentical. Bioidentical only means the structure is identical to the natural hormone.
Right.
So, you know, and that's the big key, is you want it to be, you know, identical. Now, they have their purpose, but the reason, you know, birth control works really good is because it's very specific to, you know, the actual female reproductive cycle, to fake the body out to think it's pregnant so it doesn't ovulate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, it's not necessarily the right, just because it's bio. What did you say again it was?
Bioidentical.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said. That doesn't mean, again, that it's going to be functional for them as far as taking care of this problem.
Well, bioidentical, what we have to do is make sure we put the hormones to normal levels. Because if you have hormones at an abnormal level, it's going to be dangerous. If you have too high of estrogen, it can cause problems.
Right.
So that's why when we're doing hormone replacement, you got to do it with somebody who tests it, who knows the downstream effects. We watch these hormones. We know how they break down. We know what, you know, metabolites they go into. We can actually test for that. And we can actually make sure the patient is actually metabolizing them correctly.
See, I love how you do it. You're taking a different approach to medicine, much more thorough. And it's not an easier necessarily, okay? But you, as you know, when you were in the ER getting started, you realized that cookie-cutter, real fast approach wasn't going to work. And speaking over the heads weren't going to work. Now, just in the course of this conversation, you've used two really good analogies where you talked about the symphony and the key and the lock. Is that a key to your practice, that you can explain things to them in ways they can understand and use like analogies like this in simple terms so that now they're going to be able to be part of their treatment, right?
Yeah. I mean, I tell my patients I'm a partner with you. I am not, you know, the dictator here. It's a partnership. You've got to tell me, you know, what you can do, and then we work around that. Because, I mean, if I turn around and tell somebody, okay, I want you to do all of this stuff, and they are taking way too much supplements or anything, and it's way too much for them, and they're not going to do it, it's not going to work.
And if you talk over their heads and you say things like they don't understand, they're not going to be proactive in their own treatment. They're not going to be engaged in it, and they're not going to have the right positive attitude about it, are they?
No, exactly. We spend most of our time educating our patients. So if patient doesn't understand it one way, I'll say it another way. We have tons of diagrams and pictures and all kinds of things that we use to teach people with.
That's why she's the best doctor in America, ladies and gentlemen. I don't just say those things lightly, all right? I didn't say he was the best pastor in America, because I know he's not, okay? But no, I'm just kidding you, buddy. But I seriously mean this. You are the best doctor in America today, and that's why, because you care so much. You have this unique approach. You really put a lot of time and effort into it. You're doing things that no other doctor is doing. That's why everybody should go to her website, peaksofhealth.com, and check out her practice. It's Peaks of Health Medical Center in Largo. You should be a patient of hers. There's no doubt about it in my mind, okay? And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take some questions for Dr. Lenhart here at 855-265-2929. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. We have Marie from Largo as a question for Dr. Lenhart. Marie.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, very good. What's your question for Dr. Lenhart?
Well, in postmenopausal women, do the ovaries still make estrogen? And if they do, why is it that we're having so many problems with imbalances in our hormones and we need hormone replacement therapy?
That's a good question, Marie. And actually, no, your ovaries stop making your estrogen. There's three different kinds of estrogen in the body, and most people don't know that. The ovaries make one called estradiol. And what happens is you start switching your estradiol into estrone, and that's made out of your fat and your adrenal glands. And that's one of the reasons why you'll notice women start getting belly fat after menopause, because they're starting to build up the fat so they can make more estrone. It's not as, you know, it's a different kind of estrogen, and it doesn't work as well. And that's one of the reasons why we start getting the hormonal imbalances.
All right. Wow. Did that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. God bless
Thank
you.
You.
God bless you. All right, we have another caller on the line for Dr. Lenhart. We have Kaylee with us right now who has a question for Dr. Lenhart. Kaylee, how are you? What happened? Whoops.
Looks
he
like
just
we
dropped
Kaylee.
Her on her head.
Hello.
Tommy, where are you?
Where'd
doing?
That horse go?
See, we'll have to do head injuries next.
Now,
right?
Next week, we'll have to do head injuries after this one. All right, is she there now? All right, Kaylee, what's your question for Dr. Lenhart?
I'm curious. In my mid 30s to late 30s, I started getting migraine headaches before and after, you know, that the time of the month. So I'm just wondering, is that part of the hormones? And what can I do to help that?
It very well could be. Progesterone or dropping in progesterone will cause that. And most people don't realize that they may go into menopause in the 40s or 50s, but they go into perimenopause in their 30s. So they start mm-hmm. decreasing the amount of progesterone they make, and the lower progesterone levels can cause migraine headaches. It can also sometimes be food related, you know, but in a lot of cases it could be definitely hormonally related.
That's what I'm feeling that it is, because it's definitely before and after.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of women get their, you know, headaches or their migraines at their menstrual cycle time.
Okay, what can I do for that? Is there anything?
There are some things we can do. We can sometimes, you know, start replacing that progesterone at that time so the symptoms don't occur. The other things we can do is use some specific items that kind of increase the receptors. If people don't want to take hormones, we can use, you know, black cohosh or some different herbs that can actually increase the receptors and get them
all
to
right.
work a little bit better.
Very good. Good, because it was in my late 30s to mid-30s, but it started. So.
Yeah, it sounds like you started perimenopause a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Well, go check that's out the doc's website. Go ahead, Kaylee. I'm sorry.
No, that's what I was thinking. Pete, I feel much closer to you now having these conversations.
I do feel like we've bonded in a new, different way. I really do. And I want you to go check out the doc's website. Go to peaksofhealth.com and see what I'm talking about. This is the most unique and different doctor in America today, practicing with it, taking. She takes so much time with each patient. I always say it on Tuesday. She's like a detective trying to find out exactly what's wrong with you. So I highly recommend to everybody to do that. And, Kaylee, thanks for calling in with your question. That was a great question.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
All right. God bless you. Have a good day, Kaylee.
Bye-bye.
All right. So those are two interesting questions. Let's talk about them a little bit. Is that something in each case? Are you seeing a lot of those types of situations, or is it are those unique questions?
Well, it's fairly common. You know, most women, they'll start their perimenopausal area where the progesterone will start lowering, and then they don't have the hot flashes. They don't have the sweats, but they have the irritability. They snap at people easier. Their memories are starting to go. They're starting to gain weight, you know, because at higher, they become what we call estrogen dominant, which is kind of like a male on major testosterone sometimes. So they can become
who on what now?
Well, you know, estrogen.
And we
to
need the
women,
horse noise again.
Well, yeah, that's it. Well, estrogen to women is like testosterone to men. They feel great when, you know, initially, but they don't. The side effects aren't so good sometimes.
All right, if you still want to call in, you can. We can probably handle all the question 1-855-265-2929. And we're talking a lot about PMS in this, but you know, one of the things I think. Women get very discouraged by it because it is something that comes every month and it's pretty severe and it's pretty difficult for them to deal with. The symptoms sometimes change from month to month. The severity of them, the frequency of it does. But it can be treated at about a 90% success rate, can it?
Yes, it can. We can, you know, in a lot of cases we can do some things that, you know, increase the receptors of the hormones. We can eliminate some of the things that cause the estrogen dominance. We can use things like indole-3 carbinol and DIM to get the person to process their estrogen better, to get it out of the liver better, because some people just hold on to it. So there's a lot of different things we can do just short of hormone replacement. And then obviously the most of the treatment will include replacing that progesterone.
I wish we were on television right now so you could see the passion in her eyes as it lights up when she comes to give these great answers to us. So again, just such a caring doctor. And I want to go through your story a little bit again, because we haven't done it at this hour before. We've done it on two other shows when you and I have talked about it. But all of this change in the approach to medicine, your thoroughness, you're looking at things in a new way, in a technologically advanced way, comes from the fact that you had some serious health issues when you were a resident, and you saw that, look, the way medicine is going is not right. I got to change my thoughts, first of all, or I'm not going to make it right. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, I probably had trouble, you know, starting in my 20s, you know, with overweight, you know, dieting back and forth. I had early pre-insulin issues, and I ended up after residency and practicing medicine after so many years. It took its toll on me. The amount of coffee I was drinking, the amount of Coke I was drinking, I ended up diabetic. I had infertility issues. I had thyroid issues. I had polycystic ovarian syndrome, which we talked about the other day. And as I said, it ended up adding up that by the time I finished, I was on 7 medications, including 100 units of insulin a day.
Every day, 7 different medications?
Yeah, I was taking, you know, a beta blocker, Coreg. I was taking things to control my cholesterol and my triglyceride levels, Tricor and Zocor. I was taking injections of insulin and injections of Byetta to control my blood sugar. I was taking 2 other blood sugar medications orally, metformin and glucophage, and then Actos. So, and I was gaining weight. I was eating about 1,200 calories a day. I was exercising like crazy, and I was gaining weight. So by the time I finished, I was like, there's got to be something better than this. You know, I knew I was hypothyroid. I was being told I was normal because my TSH was in the normal range. But I was so symptomatic. By the time I finished, I knew there was just no way. So that's when I started searching things out, and I started searching for better ways of doing things. And it's where I kind of went back to our basic. I went back to the physiology. I went back to the biochemistry. I, you know, started, you know, training in bariatrics to learn how to lose weight. So I got into that where I actually started, you know, I actually practiced bariatrics for 5 years, where I lost 100 pounds. And, you know, I reversed my diabetes. And I took a fellowship in anti-aging regenerative medicine because that taught me the physiology and hormones and everything else.
Wow.
So it fixed my body up. Now I feel like I'm a 20-year-old again instead of that.
And you look like a 20-year-old. She looks like a 20. And you know what I love about it is, again, so this is what happened to you. You were told you were normal when you knew you weren't. And you see that in all your patients now. And so now what you went through, you're now able to use that almost as fuel to treat your patients, right?
Well, exactly. Because what I learned is, you know, the basic lab tests we do really don't show us a whole lot. You can look for little subtle signs in there. And I do. I look for little subtle signs now instead of just whether they're normal or not. But they basically, you know, okay, everything looks fine. We don't know what's wrong. But when you start digging deep underneath and looking at the actual function of the body and some of the testing that we do, which is totally different, is we can look at full micronutrient testing and know exactly where your vitamin level status is. And, you know, I kind of thought, you know, this is a running joke in our family because my husband, when I met him, he had all these, you know, supplements and everything. And I'm like, what are you, a pill popper or something? And I'm like, this, you know, what's all this stuff? And then I, like, when I had to start learning about nutrition, which we're not taught, you know, in medical school, I was like, wow, magnesium runs 300 processes in your body. If you're low in it, imagine what happens to your system. And so I kind of have a really appreciation for what these vitamins actually do in your system now.
I take those Flintstone chewables. Is that good? Is that a,
yeah,
no? That's not helping
not
much.
Really.
No.
I take those too.
Do you really? A couple
yeah.
Bam Bams in the morning. I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying? You know, a couple of Bam Bams. You know.
I know.
So I tell everybody how they can learn more. Again, it's peaksofhealth.com, and your phone number again. It's 826-0838. Right.
Yeah,
I see. I got memory.
8638.
Right.
On my website.
Right. That's 727-826-0838. Or go to peaksofhealth.com. She also does a lot of seminars at her place. You now have a new little thyroid clinic going at your place. Tell me about that.
Well, the thyroid clinic, you know, blossomed out of, I was doing some thyroid lectures and everything, and I didn't realize there was such a need for people knowing more about their thyroid, you know, because a lot of people are going to the doctors and they're being told their thyroids are normal and they're like really questioning it. And we started doing some thyroid lectures and seminars. And so out of that came morphed out a thyroid clinic that does strictly thyroid now. So the person can come in, they don't have to do the whole metabolic system. It's a little bit cheaper for them. We made it very affordable since we don't take insurance. And so, you know, and that's sense, we hone in on the thyroid, we can look at it, we customize our thyroid, you know, to what the patient needs. So we make it up with the exact amount of T4 and T3 in it. For some people don't convert their thyroid, some people, you know, are just strictly hypothyroid, but a lot of people have Hashimoto's that's been undiagnosed. They have conversion issues for their thyroid, they don't have the right nutrients for their thyroid, their adrenals are off and it messes up their thyroid. And so we look at all of this with the thyroid. And so, you know, that's been going like gangbusters.
I love it. And that's all because we've been talking about it a lot, and you've been doing these lectures and everything. Again, it's customized, technologically advanced, thorough medicine. You need to go to Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center in Largo, 727-826-0838.